Yeah, but then you always make fun of me.
Yes, I do. It's my podcast. I get to do it. I like using the mic.
So I guess all our friends who are going to come didn't come.
All our friends. No, I just want to see it.
Oh. He's just staring me down like, fuck it.
Spider-Gwen, come on. Learn about comics.
Come
make
on.
Them. See? Told you it worked. Just scream at random people as they pass by. We have the mic.
Don't drop it. 2 minutes.
Look at this guy. He's already given up. He's good for comics. That guy's already given up.
I'll try again.
He came in like, oh god, I'm gonna learn about independent comics.
I stole some cereal.
You stole cereal? This is what happens in independent comics.
You're
a lot of stolen food.
It's almost healthy.
Mini wheats?
Yeah, it's almost healthy.
Lightly sweetened. How is this healthy?
It's
whole grain wheat,
see?
Sugar, and it's 2% of rice syrup.
What the fuck's rice?
Gelatin and BHT for freshness. BHT, that's healthy.
Dude, you sound like
what?
Sound like Jeff DeCall.
Guys, only joke.
Don't put this in your
don't
body.
Put this on
don't
there.
Put this in your
eat
body.
A banana.
Are you touch? Don't even touch the box. Don't touch the box.
I think somebody has a question.
They haven't
already
started yet.
We haven't even started yet.
Do you watch sci-fi?
Like the channel? Yes.
Because I love Face
Off.
Oh!
That was good. That was good. Should have left that for the end of the panel. That's how you really close it. Man.
Well, if you're not going to eat my cereal.
I'm just looking at it. It's a little box.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Benny Wheat. Come on, American flag shirt guy.
Come on in.
Come
there
on in. Independent comics. Learn about
really?
It. Yeah, more people.
I'm shocked.
It's so hilarious. None of our friends came. They
I know.
All suck.
You guys have friends?
Wow.
We are already getting zingered. We're already getting zinged by people here. Awesome. Nope, no one either. Look at this. This is actually happening. See, Martin, people come to like listen to our shit.
No one cares.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you please explain the breakfast at nighttime?
Can I what?
Explain the breakfast you have on the table.
There's always time for breakfast, man.
We're just explaining the food that he stole to eat.
When you make comics, this is all you get.
I don't think he heard it.
Filling up, nice.
I
like
time.
The guys in the back. They're like being cool. Like,
it's time to start, man.
When they leave, it'll be incognito.
Yeah, I know. All right, so this is the Independent Comics panel. My name is Juan Navarro. I am the editor-in-chief of Creature Entertainment. We are downstairs. We're a local Miami publisher. And with me is Martin Piero.
That's right. I am the publisher for Cosmic Times. We are also downstairs, but we are located up in Palm Beach County, Lake Worth, Florida.
Nobody likes you.
Everybody loves us in Lake Worth. What are you talking about?
Lake Worth.
Like, worthless.
So mostly what we do is a lot of independent comics. We do, we're both distributed now through Diamond.
So we're not so nationally distributed.
We're not in the, wow, that's your take. I like being indie. You know, so,
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take it. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a hardcore stance. I will take that.
Go, girl.
Yes, that's it. Be liberated. I don't know where to take it from here, but
What does Terry Cronin usually do?
Hello, Martin.
Okay. So, anyways, we've been at this for quite a while. I've been at it 8 years. You've been what? Well, you've been Zombie Years has been around for like 9 years.
Right? No, Zombie Years has been around for 8 years. That's one of the books I do. So, post-apocalyptic zombie tale that takes place in Miami.
Wait a minute. Is it like The Walking Dead or Better Weather?
Yeah!
Wow!
Because that's called the byline, and that's what you're going to say a lot when you try to sell your books at cons. God, I'm kind of like drawing a blank right now. What else did you go into?
Okay, so we've been at this for quite a while.
Cool.
Like he said, we're now distributed through Diamond. Both we're two separate companies, but we're good friends. We work together on a lot of things. It's taken a long time to get to the level we're at now. That's why we're still independent in relation to, say, Image or Marvel or Dark Horse. But they still make comics.
And that's what you call comics now.
Yeah. It went from having, 30% of the market to like 15% of the
25.
Market?
25. Ooh. They were 35, and then they went down to 25.
Joy. Yeah, so anyways, and it's taken a while to get here. Lots of trial, lots of error.
Lot of money.
Lots of money. That's
thrown at the monkey.
You know, let's say that right there. You know, that's the thing. A lot of people get into comics because it's easy to do. You know, print on demand. You pay a couple bucks for a book, and you think it's an inexpensive... Like, you know, I think a lot of people say it's cheaper to make comics than it is to make a movie. And that's the truth.
Yeah.
But once you make the comic, everything after that just costs you money. Throwing money out the window.
Yeah. And a lot of times it just comes down, it just takes time. That's the biggest problem. You know, a page of comics, like for me to draw it, takes me a day. I drew a page yesterday, and I finished it this morning.
So let me tell you, I work with a lot of artists. A page a day would be a blessing.
I know.
Yeah. But anyway, so who do you guys want to make comics? Or you're into comics? Who wants to make a comic? Raise your hand. All right, who's in? You guys are. I assume everybody in here is into the whole indie comic scene, right? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That one guy's like, I guess. Like, he's like, I guess I fucking am into it.
I said DC already.
Like, Jesus Christ. I think it's one of the best bets. Like for right now, it's one of the best ways of getting an idea out there. And if it's something that you explore, I think the one thing you guys have to look into is how you want to do it and what you're willing to sacrifice to do it. Because a lot of times, a lot of people think that they can, you know... Are they murdering people next time?
Sacrifice you were talking about.
Oh, okay. Close it. Close it. Close it. First off, I would love to do a Q&A. So if anybody has questions or think of anything that you guys want to know, because you all
where are you going?
The doors are closing. The doors
my
are closing.
Mom. My mom? What?
You know what? I don't find that hard to believe.
There's no mom.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Mom's
as well.
Is that moment of him calling his mom part of your next page or?
Maybe. I don't know. I will go on the podcast that I'm probably going to be putting up since I'm recording this. So.
What's your podcast?
It's on FWACATA. It's pretty much recordings of all the panels I do across the country and people I talk to and stuff that we do. I also own a comic book shop in Hialeah, and it's a comic book shop tattoo shop that's run by me and that gentleman over there, Xavier Rache. And he's
German. So.
Yeah. So it's something that we run together and everything else. So we like record stuff and everything wherever we go. We just came back from New York Comic Con? That was our last. Yeah. So that's another thing. You're going to be doing a lot of shows. You're going to be going to a lot of places. If you want to get your book out there and get the name out there, a lot of travel, a lot of planning, a lot of putting money down on the table. So it's one of those things where it takes a lot to do it, but the rewards are huge. And I think the biggest thing is, like, for me, I have 9 issues of Zombie Years out, and I think that's, like, the biggest culmination for me that I've gotten that far with a book like that.
Yeah, but like you were saying before, it's a business. Making comics is a business. A lot of artists, no offense, want to just get their art out, want to tell their story.
Bitch.
I am. You've met my mom. want to get their story out there, and that's great. If that's all you want to do, that's cool. But if you actually want people to read it, that's where the work comes in. You
yeah.
know, trying to get, you got to get it in front of people. You got to put the legwork in. Like he said, where are you going?
You got to take everything with you. We'll watch it. We'll look at it.
Well, another one bites the dust.
Yeah, I know. We're not getting it. We're not relating to anything. She's like, I'm out of here. Yeah. I have more. The bathroom's the other way, actually.
It actually is.
Liar!
You came in with her. What's her deal? Where's she going?
I guess the bathroom.
Sure. He's like, no, I'm genuinely interested.
She left you behind, bud.
Yeah.
That's
the direction. So, what else?
Like I said, you've got to run. You got to be able to run a business. That's the thing. When I started out, I had a friend who was doing the same thing. Started off, and I was like, you know, we have to do this because we were supposed to work. Long story, you don't know this. Mm. I originally was going to start Cosmic Times with a friend, and I was like, we have to do this. We have to put the legwork in. He's like, well, let's just put the book out. Like, no. Let's hold on. Let's get a better artist. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, and he's like, oh, I don't want to run a business. I want to make comics. I'm like, whoa, hold on, asshole. You have to do both. You can't. You're never gonna get a done. If you spend $1,000, you at least want to get $100 of it back.
Yeah,
you know.
But at the end, the friend was all in his mind.
Tommy.
plug. How you doing? We have children. We have to clean ourselves up.
No. Guys are here for the independent comics panel.
Tightening your panel or tightening the tackle. All
right,
but anyway, so who has any
questions, anything?
Somebody raised their hand, they want to make comments too.
We're exhausted and stupid
right
now.
Go ahead.
When you started out with the whole, making comics and everything, like, you're talking about the whole business part of it.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, how's that exactly, like, what do you do exactly when you start the whole business half?
Well, for me, when I first, I'm a writer. I don't draw. I tried, I can't do it. So I had to hire an artist. So first off, right there, I have to budget. I have to put a budget together, figure out how much I can spend on an artist, try to find an artist as cheap as possible. I ended up getting a guy out of Uruguay, really cool guy. And pretty much that's the beginning. Get a budget. How much money do you have? Do you have enough money? You know, what's it cost to print a comic? You know, I my initial print run for Arthur, the first issue, was a 48-page comic, because I'm stupid. I didn't think to trim it down. And I had to print, for MegaCon was the first show I was going to sell it at. I wanted to print, I think I printed 100 copies. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I sold out. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Huh. Remember those days
when
you
sold
out?
We sold out.
So I had to figure out what it's going to cost to print. Then I had MegaCon, what's that booth going to cost? But even before the first bit of work was done, I had to figure out my budget. And that's as far as the business side of it, that's the beginning. And getting the money. Do you have the money? Do you have access to the money? Are you going to
have access to
the
money?
Now,
I would say this. This is where I would come in.
I started
Zombie Years as a webcomic. So essentially, it started out for free.
But
I
even
know,
then there's, you got to pay for the website, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of other, like, you can go to WordPress.com, you can go to other sites and get, like, a free thing. If you do pay, like, I pay like, $113 a year. For
right.
my server, you know, and for the website and putting, you know, the hosted, that's all I pay. And I most of 99% of the time make the money back just in advertisement to pay for the server. But you can go in Tumblr. You can use Tumblr now to get your comics out there now. I mean, I would say that's a good place to start. You know, a lot of people come in here with a 1,000-page saga that takes place and it's multi-generational. Do 8 pages. If you can get me interested in 8 pages, that'll do way more for your book as far as an audience and viewing than trying to make a 1,000-page saga, which you won't finish. You know, just do the 8 pages, put it on Tumblr, tag it right, invite people to come look at it, see if it gets out there, if it hooks on, or people what they think, then now you have something. You know, that's one way of just getting your comics out there. As far as the business and everything, that's when you build it up from there. And that's what I did with Zombie Years. Initially, Zombie Years, the first 8 pages is an anthology, for an anthology.
That's actually how one of the things I got started with was doing an anthology for something.
Yeah, I was just putting something together for an anthology. Anthology fell through. I had the 8 pages. I said, well, what if I ran with the story? So I just kept running with the story, and I ended up with 32 pages, and I put it up online, and I just started hosting it 1 page a week, and I knew I could keep up with that pace, you know, drawing, and that's how I started as a webcomic. Like 2 or 3 years later, I was already... It's the other way.
Well, at least we're helping people find the restroom.
Yeah. Look for the guy with the sword, Lordering.
Yeah.
Stand outside the restroom.
So, but even then, like he said, go to Tumblr. And Tumblr actually works as a blog.
Tumblr,
really
WordPress.
But then Tumblr is totally free, though.
Yeah, one of the things I might do in January, I might move from WordPress over to, what's that thing called? Squarespace.
Okay.
Because I found a webcomic template that you can use on.
But my point was this, though. I was gonna go. If you're gonna go to Tumblr, look on Tumblr, see what the other people are doing. See, you know, compare your work to theirs too. And if you go on, say, Tumblr and you look at other people's webcomics and you say, "Wow, this is a lot better than mine," step your game up, work harder, make yours better, good as theirs.
Right now, you're not under the pressure of like making something because you got to print it and it has to go out because you got to get paid so you can do the next thing and pay your rent. If you're in a place where you're still exploring as much as you can, put it out there. You know, DeviantArt is another space that you guys can put stuff out there. People can see it and they can say, "Hey, you know, this is cool," or "Hey, this and that," and ask people like, "What do you think? What should be better?" And they're the first ones to tell you. And if they get into it, and that's how you can build a fan base. You know, I did anthologies for years, and I was on a webcomic website called Graphic Smash for about almost 8 years. And I was on there for a long time, and I was at Heroes Con, and a guy shows up with an anthology with my work in it from, like, 1999. And he was like, "Can you sign it?" I'm like, "Why? Like, this is horrible work. Why?" It's just part of the thing.
It's in the first 8 pages.
Yeah. So, there you go. So that's, like, one way of getting it out there and working out what you want to do.
But you gotta have a passion for it too.
Yeah, you have to have a passion for it because you're not gonna hang out. You're not gonna be playing video games. If you really want to be doing this, if you want to do it as a hobby and fun and just make a comic and like share it to your friends and it's like, "Oh, cool," that's one way of doing it. And just posting it on your Facebook or on whatever and just doing it. But if you really, really give a shit, then you have to like put it together and put it out there.
Kids, sorry, I'm tired. But that thing he often points out, the
PG-13, everyone.
Yes,
my A lot of people ask me, you know, "Hey, did you see Arrow last night? How about Walking Dead?" I don't watch any of those shows because I don't have time for it because I'm working. And you always want to think about the video game.
Yeah.
Somebody comes up, he's played, you know, if you played whatever, I just beat it 40 hours later. That was 40 hours you could have spent making a comic or working on
I don't understand that. I mean, that's the thing. And then if you want to make a comic, that's what you're going to be doing. There's a great image that says love of all comics out there. It's a meme. And on it, it just shows different comic book artists doing making comics. And there's one of like a dude just with a sword drawing at a table. Another guy on his, you know, Cintiq beautiful screen. Another guy on a kitchen table. That's what it is. A lot of us are just always drawing. And the most of the time when we're not drawing, I'm what, texting you, going, "Hey, I found this new email thing," and blah blah blah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, what are you going to solicit to Diamond this month?
And, or hey, Micronauts is making a movie.
You saw that? I had to send that to you. So I mean, that's one of the ways that, you know. Why are you leaving, Jimi Hendrix?
He's trying to go to the bathroom. No response.
None. So that's, you know, that's the kind of thing you have to get into, you know? I mean, making a, you know, like I said, for me it takes a day to make a page. You're making a 24-page comic, that's 24 days. You know, that's a whole month of really going at it. And
well, that's just actually the making of the comic. The planning.
The writing, the concept. That's a big deal, too.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of you guys already have, like, an idea in your head or a comic that you want to make, you know? All right, what on your book, give me a pitch. Tell me what it's about.
I didn't know it was interactive, dude.
He's like, took too long. You.
It's
just like Gravity Falls. Oh.
No, it's not just like Gravity Falls.
Which I just learned about today, by the way.
It takes place 200 years in the future, and all of humanity has been centralized into this ginormous tower in order to be saved from like this meteor that was going to strike into Earth. So they were like, "Oh no, we got to like save everyone." So they built this giant tower, and everyone's saved, hooray. But then everyone's stuck in there for like 200 years, and they're like, "Well, is it safe to go out yet?" No one cares. Because life inside the tower is great. It's just fine. It's dandy. Political stuff. Oh no, Mr. President was killed by evil people. I don't know. And then
the reason why I ask is a lot of times those concepts. He's being a jerk.
I'm sorry.
I actually dig the idea of it. The initial idea. The whole thing is to try to break down an idea as fast as possible. Because when you pitch the story to an artist, if you pitch a story, are you an art writer or an artist?
I'm a writer. I suck at art.
Me too.
When you want to pitch a story to an artist.
I'm an art writer.
Oh, there you go. You know, that's going to be awesome for you because that's how I do everything. When you want to pitch a story, you got to get them excited. So a lot of times, like, off the bat, it was really good. And then you got into the superfluous stuff. Don't worry about that stuff. We leave them with a hook. And so when you want to, like, you know, like, okay, I have a story called Tommy. It's a story about a little boy with an imaginary friend. Finds out his imaginary friend's a serial killer. That's it. That's all I tell people. After that, they're like, and then they want to buy it. So when you have that concept, you want to have it nice and clean and neat so that when you look for an artist, you want to make the artist as excited. I mean, you have more experience in that than me.
Oh,
but as a writer, that you get an artist, I mean, how do you get them jazzed up for your project? How do you get them?
PayPal.
Either that or throw a shit ton of money on it.
This dinosaur cowboy thing we're doing. That again, it's a fun project. You know, you pitch it as this fun thing, and people want to be involved with it. Like I did a book about a guy being raped in a bathroom at one point, and that was a hard book to get an artist involved with, if you know, you can imagine. Yeah. Why don't you give me that look? Like even Jeff DeCall didn't even want to do the cover. He's like, really? But because I was doing an edgy book type thing. And that was a situation where I just had to just throw money at Jeremy Hobbs to do the book. Yeah. But like you said, you know, when you started talking about this tower, and that all sounded pretty freaking cool. And then like you went off a little bit and started delving into. But for your story, like, what is the hook? I mean, so there's this tower built, and then they're going to go explore?
It's two women who leave the tower and have to discover Earth being abandoned for several years.
See, two women. That's another thing. That's kind of a hook.
Okay,
female leads.
Yeah.
You ready now, monkey shirt?
Okay. In a world...
Piff helmet? Where are you going?
Oh. He's honest.
You know what? Yeah, he's the honest one. Thank you, honest guy. We did our job. Now he's not going to make comics. He's like, nope, I'm not going to make comics.
Another one. You know, I don't like people making comics.
Nah,
I'm an old man. Go ahead, monkey shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. All
right, in a world where three Earths exist, a man escapes his attackers because of the huge bounty he has on his head.
I like that. In a world where three Earths exist.
In a world. Uh-huh.
And he has no clue why he has a bounty, and that's what's something he has to figure out as he struggles through his attackers.
So it's like amnesia, but...
Nah, he doesn't have amnesia, he just doesn't know why he has a bounty on him, and it's just for him to find out.
Perfect.
Okay.
That's where you leave it at.
Well, hold on a second, but do you know why he has a bounty on his head?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, it worked out your end. Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sure.
An artificial photosynthetic creation unites his fellow creations to escape his creator's lab.
Artificial, so
artificial.
Photosynthetic.
It's photosynthetic. So it's a hologram.
Photosynthetic? No.
Photosynthetic means like a plant.
It's a plant. Are you going
like
for a serious sci-fi, or are you going for...
It's serious, but it's anime, so...
It's anime, okay. Yeah, so you can allow it to be a little fun. I mean, a plant tries to escape its creator, or a plant tries to escape a mad doctor, or something like that. I think if you did something like that, because artificial photosynthetic
you
creation...
I was like, I was confused.
I understood it, but it's
not,
just...
I'm stupid.
It's not a plant, though, but it's powered by the sun.
Like the solar panels. It sounds like Pikmin gone wrong.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ooh, so Pikmin gone wrong. That's a great pitch.
Well, those are elevator pitches. Remember, we talked about those kind of pitches, too, that where people are like, it's like RoboCop meets Peter Pan. And you're like,
I read that.
You know, which actually sounds awesome.
I know.
I think we just did something really cool.
Save that.
I prefer not to let others think of other franchises when they're thinking about stories.
That's very good. You will get into situations, if you're pitching this to a publisher or something like that, where... It's amazing how many art directors are so unimaginative and they're idiots and they don't know what they're doing, that you're going to have to do that simple thing and make the comparison and say, you know, it's like Avatar meets Avatar, you know, The Last Airbender. You know, just because that'll allow them to picture it in their head and then they'll be like, oh, okay, I like this. But it's very important to have the end and everything that you want done if you're ever going to pitch it. Because in the end, when you do a pitch, they don't want to have a cliffhanger. They want to know exactly what you're going to do with the book, how it's going to look and everything else. And then they'll say, okay, you're going to take it here? Cool, we'll use it.
Weird Al's leaving.
Weird Al's
leaving. But to what you just said about knowing the ending. One thing when I was writing scripts that was explained to me in detail was that no secrets from your artist. Your artist has to, you can't like, wait till you see the next issue, it's going to shock you. No, the artist needs to know what's going to happen every step of the way. Because if he's drawn something into the panel that's not, that could mislead the reader as to what your ending's going to be, then he's ruined your book. So you have to, that's another, communicating with your artist.
Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Yeah, my book's actually a novel, but I'm thinking of making it into a manga.
Mm-hmm. So it's already written?
So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, same thing. I have like 19 chapters.
19 chapters?
That's getting too big.
Oh. Like, I never got to give my pitch, but...
Okay. Your pitch?
It's a
do it.
I mean, like, I'm an artist and stuff, so I have, like, billions of, like, sketches and stuff and billions of other comic ideas or whatever, so I'm just going to throw one of them at you. Okay, so it takes place in the 1950s, and there's this detective named Simon who goes around solving the twisted mysteries going around in the town, and the secret secret paranormal side of everything. Like, this town would have, like, secret, like, paranormal, like, monsters and beings and things, just crazy things you could imagine just being and, like, existing and being real and, like, having, like, intricate ways of hiding and such. And you would take care of these certain kind of mysteries while also unraveling the big mystery going around everywhere and even his own backstory. And the main protagonist, Simon, is also a fallen angel, so...
So it's Gravity Falls with Elvis Presley.
I
don't know Gravity Falls.
Well, one thing I would say, like, it's an interesting concept. It's not much of a pitch because you have to go and say, because you know, I can draw several figures from already out there that are like, you know, Constantine, you know, Hellblazer. I'm thinking like Dr. Fate, Dr. Strange. Lovecraft, you know, a lot of Lovecraft stuff. So you gotta say, like, okay, how does it, you know, I always like it when there's a cool line to it. Like, Hellboy has one of the cooler lines, like, you know, with the things that go bump in the night, we're the ones who bump back. Like, I always love that line, because I, like, made it, like, okay, cool. Because what you want is that somebody say, okay, well, now what happens? You know, what's the next one? And as an artist, you have probably these rich details and things in your head that you want to use. Try to describe it to it. Like, if the person couldn't see it, describe that, and then use that to bring that in. You know, a lot of times that's the error that happens. I have to correct writers in my own team about that, because they'll talk to somebody about a book and they're like, well, this happens and then there's this and then this happens. Like, you're telling the story, you're not talking about the concept. You're not getting people interested in it. You know, that's like the biggest thing.
But one step further on that, though, like your concept with, it actually sounded like a television show. Like, here's what we're going to do. We have a whole season. We're going to figure out who the main bad guy is, but we'll have a monster of the week in every episode. My question to you is, could you take that concept, my nose is getting stuck, take that concept and make a 22 or 48-page comic that is satisfactory, that somebody picks it up, reads it, finishes it, puts it, because if, not saying you won't, but there could come a point where that's all you ever produce is that first issue or that one issue on that particular concept. Could you do that? Okay.
Yeah,
that's a thing too. You got to think about the medium you're working in. The most you're ever going to do is 48 pages in a comic.
Yeah.
If not, then you're talking graphic novel, and that's a whole other.
Well, I mean, it's like anything else too. And in writing, 90% of it is editing. You know, a lot of it is just writing the thing out, getting it done as best as possible, just writing the sucker out. And once it's done, going back and saying, okay, this line sounds kind of dumb, or this doesn't work really right. Same thing. If you guys already have a novelization of it done, then adapting it for an artist is kind of hard, because you have to really come in and like make a script, because you're pretty much telling the artist where the camera is going to point and at what time and how, because a lot of people don't understand this. Comics is not art, is not film, you know.
Oh,
comics
I know
is not, you know, a novel. It is its own thing, and the way that you work in a comic and tell a story in a comic doesn't work in the same way. So, but that's the magic of it. You know, you can do so many things in comics that no other medium can do. So there's like programs that, like Celtex, that's one of the ones that we use for writing. That it's great, because you write a character, it stores it.
Yes.
You write a scene, it has it.
It's good. It's good, right?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. Celtics, however you want to do it. C-E-L-T, like Celt-X. I know the app version on iPad costs like $5.99, but everything else is like free.
Well,
and once you're on there, and once you have, like, what's really cool is once you have an account and you write a script and you put it on there, Like it saves it.
Well,
like
that's
it,
the thing. If
it
you
sinks
do the,
it.
There's a pay service. It's like $19.99 a year. It's nothing crazy. But if you buy the app for $5.99, it includes all those features.
Yeah.
It then carries over onto your desktop.
Yeah, exactly. So then if like you write the script on your iPad, it'll come out on your computer, and you always have a backup of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way of breaking it down and seeing how you do it. And that's where the collaborative process is, too, because a lot of times it's not a writer sitting there and telling an artist, all right, now draw this, and now he's backwards, and now he's throwing a batarang, and now he's... It's not that. A lot of times an artist might come back and say, well, what if we broke down the panels like this? Because a lot of people don't get into that. I mean, you could have a simple, just an example thing of like Hawkeye coming out and shooting an arrow at a dude to stop him from blowing up a bomb. Well, what are you trying to do? Is it comical? Is it high intensity? You know, is it two pages or one image is going to happen? Or is it going to be like you're going to stretch it out for three pages to cause tension? You know, it could be him grabbing the bow, pulling it out, putting it on the thing, the guy reaching for the bomb, people screaming. There's all this panel work that you can do. And finally, he lets go of the arrow. People are screaming. It's about to hit. You see maybe the reflection of the arrow in somebody's eye. Then it hits the bomb. And then all these things.
Now, that's a thing to think about, too. Like, say, that particular scene. So you write this script. It's 22 pages. You wrote a 22-page script. Your artist comes back and says, hey, this scene with Hawkeye, if I can make this three pages, we could really make this intense. So now you have to edit your own script and like, okay, well, I can cut the scene out with this. I can trim that
exactly.
And make more room for it. I can lose some of my dialogue that I love oh so
yeah.
very much.
Yeah. Like, simple thing. The left page, when you turn that right page to the left page, that's a big revealer. What you want is people to turn the page. They're constantly, not always have a cliffhanger, not always like, I'm going to pour, flip, a cup of coffee. Like, you don't want that. But you do want a situation where you make the person, people flip the pages, and you want them to read forward. And so you have to plan that. That's where the script comes in.
Right. That's
and highlights
time.
The situation. And that's why I'm also, like, a novel could be... A novel could be, you're not a liar. A novel could be, you know, 600, 1,000 pages. But in comic book form, you never know. It might be 60 pages, depending on how you're telling the story. I mean, by the other side of it, Gabriel Garcia Marquez, 100 Years of Solitude, somebody made a movie, a two-hour movie based on two paragraphs in that book. So, I mean, there's a lot of ways of telling a story.
Well, that's something, like you said, converting a novel to a comic.
Yeah.
You lose so much. You don't lose, you gain. Because, you know, you write five pages describing your tower.
Yeah.
That's a splash page in a comic. It's one
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your splash page may be the thing to show it. And then the intricacies of it. That's a really great example.
Thank you. In the back.
Hello there.
Howdy.
In terms of storytelling...
This guy's got a great voice.
He knows how to
tell
project.
Us more.
good narrator. Thank you. Would you guys think it's better to do... Do you guys think it's viable to do an anthology of short stories that are linked, or to just ignore that and develop one story into a full idea that can go several comics?
Well, one thing you said, the A word, which is anthology. Anthologies overall... do horribly in this market. They do
and
not
it's
do well.
Worse
they don't
in the
sell.
Last, like,
or
5-10 years.
Yeah,
too.
And it's hard because you think you have to also. This is good too. Think about it as a consumer too, as a customer. You guys were down there in the con. You were looking at stuff. What did you buy? What did you not buy? What books out there were you like? Oh, I want to get a copy of that. And what books were like? Meh.
I don't think these guys bought our books.
Nobody bought our books.
What do you sell them chapter per chapter?
Well, that's format.
Issue, yeah.
That's all format. Format's different. I mean, when you're talking about an anthology, I mean, there's ways. I've wanted to experiment with that. I had an actual superhero book that I was messing around with, and I had all these friends that were artists. I know. But there was I don't really do superhero books, but I had all these artists that wanted to work on something with me, and I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll give 8 pages to this guy, 8 pages to this guy, 8 pages to this guy. When they get done, I have 24 pages and I have a different thing. But what happens is that if it doesn't gel together and doesn't look right, you know, then people are going to be like, well, what am I reading? You know, first it was this look, now it's this look. What am I looking at? So you have to kind of figure it out. But as far as what you're talking about.
Oh,
well,
I'll just finish.
Well, I have more on
but
this
with
too.
An anthology with different short stories, a lot of times they don't do well. That's kind of like Marvel Comics Present, which was a great, like, short story runner for many years at Marvel Comics, was a great. Dark Horse Presents was another one.
Which is out now and nobody is buying
it. Nobody is buying it. I mean, it's just people don't want to buy. I'd buy it because I'm interested in different comics and reading it. But most people, and then I know anthologies out there that
really great.
I
was going to use this as an example. Mm-hmm. You know, you go to the grocery store, they have these packs of all these little mini cereals. And there's always like, there's like a Cheerios in there. Nobody wants the damn Cheerios. Or it's a Corn Flakes. Nobody wants the Corn Flakes. And that, you know, and that's how it is with an anthology. You look, you thumb through it, and you're like, oh.
Like Neapolitan ice cream. And everybody ever bought it and be like, they just eat the chocolate and they don't.
I leave the chocolate. I eat the vanilla and the strawberry.
You would.
I'm that way.
I just eat the vanilla and the chocolate.
Thank you.
Ice cream.
This man first.
What moment in your life inspired you to write your first, either write or draw your first independent comic?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Want me to go first?
Let me go.
Well, here's the thing. I used to work in film and TV. That was what my career used to be 100 years ago. And then I went freelance for a while. It wasn't working, so I had to take a 9-to-5 job. I worked IT at a law firm. And that was great. You know, I paid the bills. I fed the kids. But I was creatively confined. I couldn't be creative. You can't be creative doing IT at a law firm. Come on. So I've always loved comics. I've always read comics my whole life. And I decided that I had a story I wanted to tell. And so I got with a friend, and we started putting this concept together. By the way, it's a great concept I should share with you that never got published. And we put this together, and I chose comics as the medium to do it in. And I hate saying it's an easy entry, but it's as far as pitching a film versus pitching a comic, it's a lot easier to pitch a comic than a film, in my mind, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring this concept to life. I wanted to tell stories, and when I got into it, I fell in love with the whole writing of comics. You know, just how the scripts are constructed, how the books are constructed, the whole process. And that's kind of what got me started in this thing. I started Cosmic Times pretty much just to publish my own stories, and it snowballed from there. I will say, though,
it is an awesome high when that book is done, and it comes from the printer, you get open the box, and you look at the book, and you're like, I got it done. It's the best.
Yeah, but let me say this. It used to be an awesome high.
Yeah, it used to be.
I have 5,000 comics in my house. So.
Yeah, well, you have a garage. As for me, when I was like, I was like 9 or 10 years old, whatever age you're in fifth grade, I had a teacher named Miss Tappanus, and she used to have this thing where it was like, do the vocabulary words, make a sentence with each vocabulary word, and you get extra credit if you make a story. I'm like, all right, cool. So I started making the story, and I wrote it like nothing, and then I go, what if I drew this? I'm like, you know, I was still into comics then, and I made up a character named the Bat Trooper, the Badass Trooper, and his real name was Ben Dover. And it was like stupid. It was like the every dumb Mad Lib joke you could put in a book.
I'll option that for a comic, right?
And
now.
I remember reading it in front of the class, and everybody was laughing, and she was like with tears in her eyes laughing. And I had the comic done, and like everybody was like rushing me to read it, and they looked it over. And I found that comic the other day.
Let's publish it.
I know, right? It was like, so I had it there, and that was like a huge deal. After that, I was like, I was in love with making comics. And then I got into art school. I was doing art school and stuff. So from there, I just got into it. And
so
it was the easiest thing. It was something that was in my control.
So you've been on this path for a long time.
Yeah. Making
comics. See, I
kind of
just fell into it in my 30s.
So. Yeah. Man in the back with the projectable voice.
In that case, the other thing I was thinking of is if you do one issue, 24 pages of one story, one art style,
mm-hmm.
Second issue, different story, different art style, but the same in the same universe, connecting that way.
Make those two separate one shots. I wouldn't even make it a
two
series.
Separate. Well,
yeah.
We do that series. We do a series called The Gun, and the concept is pretty much a gun comes into the story and a gun comes out of the story. That's it. Somehow they gain the gun in the beginning and they lose the gun at the end. That's the only rule we have, and we have various writers working on it, various artists working on it. And so that the first two issues right now that came out, they're separate stories, but by the time we're in the fifth issue, you're going to see an overarching arc to it. You could do something like that.
I think you solicited as a four-issue miniseries.
Yeah, well, 4 issues. Well, no, 4 issues.
You said the fifth issue.
Well, because there's plans for a fifth issue.
Okay.
Or another, or one for the next one.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that you know, you could do either or. I mean, you, as long as you're concise with the audience, you know? I'm trying to think now. Oh, there's a great anthology now called The Island, done by Brandon Graham, a bunch of different artists. It's an amazing anthology, and there is like an overarching kind of what you're doing to it, but it's so high level. Now, that comic, a lot of it is because it's a bunch of image artists, and they're really cool, and everybody loves them. That's why it's selling. But even then, the numbers aren't that great, and it's an $8 comic book.
Well, that's Dark Horse. Dark Horse actually relaunched as a $4.99 book.
Yeah, they had to.
But to your thing, what's your? I'm assuming you're already working on these books, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you looking for distribution for it? Are you just talking about selling them at cons? Because it's two different markets, two totally different markets.
I mean, one knows is I already have a company that I work with that we've already published some stuff. I'm a novelist and I want to get into comics because I love comics. So I wanted to either maybe take one of the books I already have and turn it into a comic, but I've also been working with one of our artists on taking this story about this agency that is basically a Men in Black agency for the occult and supernatural.
There's a book like that already called The Agency.
And there's BPRD.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, I don't mean to. When you said The Agency, it reminded me of that thing.
We're editors, so this is what we do when somebody pitches us stuff. We're like,
I have not had time to think of the pitch.
No worries.
Working on writing first.
And just to, not to cut you off, but also think of what's the concept. You know, like, what's the heavy concept? Is it about love? Is it about hate? Is it your tower story? You know, what is it? Is it about society? Is it about security? You know, a lot of times there's that debate. Are we trading our security for freedom, you know? Is that what we're doing? You know, look at those kind of concepts and like that they kind of ride your story and, you know, what is it about overall? You know, that core kind of belief behind it. Look into those. Find those kind of things. Because those are the things that if you get lost in your writing, you can always go back to.
You know, Deep Space Tragedy is actually about human trafficking.
Really?
Yeah, the fourth issue. Mike and I were working on it. I said it has to be about something a little more than what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And in the... Sorry, the reveal of the bad guy's plan is he's turning his own people into slaves.
What a twist!
But the only Deep Space Tragedy saves the day. Spoilers. Yeah. But to your thing, let me just throw this out there. I'm not saying don't do what you're talking about. But you're saying I'm gonna take my novel I wrote and turn it into a comic. I'm sure it's a great novel. No, I'm not saying it's not. But you wrote that. If you wrote something now, would it be better? Instead of revisiting that, shouldn't you always be trying to move forward?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Always learn to kill your babies. Moms don't actually kill your babies. But you have to, like, kind of let go. Because there's a lot of times that I have concepts that are from, like, high school that I would love to go back and work on. But it's just let it go, man. Let it go. That work then, move on to the next thing, build another thing. Because a lot of times if you get in that... And just the planning stages and everything, again, the 1,000-page saga that we all have in our minds, that's where you get bogged down. That's where you have the problem, you know? Go to the next one. Maybe there's a concept in what you have now that'll work for the next book, you know, if that's something that you really want to go into. I've had the same story in my head for years about a boy and a girl. They're about to break up. They're, like, getting into a fight. They go, like, to a make-out hill. They're going to go, and they go to make out, and then they, like, get into a fight, and they're breaking up, and they hate each other. And at that moment, they're so hurt, they're crying about the breakup. And, man, I'm about to do the pitch. And and they get hit by a meteorite, and it explodes. And what happens is now they're bonded by some kind of alien technology. And when they're together, they form a superhero. But they hate each other now.
Oh, Lord.
They've been hurt. They've had that emotionality. I've had that concept in my head forever now.
So,
yeah, I mean, you're going to find a guy. But that's something I'm like, I let it go. I'm like, yeah, I'll find something else.
One step further than that. Everything I did before we got Diamond that I did personally, I did 3 issues of a series called Decisions and 3 issues of Arth, the Legend Continues. I've got printed copies of those that I keep locked in my closet because I've moved on. I mean, as much as I love that work, it's not my best work. I know I can do better work going forward, so I don't even associate that with my own brand, and that's my own creation.
Question.
The Joker face.
Well, I mean, I know how you're just talking about killing your babies and stuff, but it's like,
sometimes.
Do you ever just like tend to do this thing where it's like when you do kill your baby, and like it like
and whatever
it's sort of like if the concept allows in your next work or a work in the future, do you ever just like?
Or everything's built on what you've done.
Yeah, like take like maybe some past characters from the babies that you've killed.
No, yeah, there's always that
then,
mess
like,
around. I have a Moleskine with me all the time. I write concepts in there, and I write, like, dialogue sometimes. I just dialogue either I've heard or dialogue I like in my head, and I write it. And then I'll just go through stuff, and I use a program called Evernote. And Evernote, what's great is you make notes, and I have literally a file that says dialogue. And I'll write the dialogue out, and I have it there, leave it alone. So sometimes when I'm struggling with stuff or I'm just looking for an idea, I'll just read through that dialogue file. and I'll see something, I'll be like, that would be great to fill in here, or that would be a great one-liner for a character, or that would be a great whatever. And, you know, that kind of way, I'll bring something back. As an artist, I have certain characters that I've drawn a million, billion times, and I know how to draw them, like, the back of my hand. But what happens is that, you know, I can't use them anymore. I'll try to bring in that character now into another book that I'm doing. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but to that, what you said, though, about bringing these ideas forward, what do you have to be careful to is not get caught in a trap with that. Like, if you're working this idea from, you had this story a while ago, and you're going to work some of these ideas in the background, because, let's put that shirt, bro.
I've been waiting to wear this.
It says fuck you on it.
I know. I'm like,
wait, wear his shirt.
What the hell?
It's like kids wear around in the morning.
They're still around.
I know.
It's so distracting.
I know. It's like,
I just see a big fuck you flag flying.
It's like, okay. I guess he likes
But to what I was saying, though, you get these ideas like, oh, and I'll work this into the background. One thing you have to be careful of. Because you think it's clever and you're working something in the background, the audience may not get it. And you may throw everything off by doing... you get these ideas in your head, and you have the whole backstory back here, and you put it into the book, and like, oh, this is so clever and funny. No one else is going to get it. So that's why editors are always important. Always have somebody else read your stuff.
But, and that's like, I mean, you need to bounce the ideas off. Post them online. Have somebody just look at them. Even if, you know, just for proofreading, too. It's amazing how many times there's a comic. This guy gets up with his fucking shirt. It's hilarious. It's like, I'm like, dude, really? I just hear it in my head. Fuck you. That's all I hear in my head.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I'm dispensing all this wisdom. Fuck you.
Poor Liz.
Why is Mario saying fuck you?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah. It's a me. Fuck you. I know. Don't fuck Luigi.
Just playing Mario and he does that. Like,
no, who's else has got a question? We've gone off track.
You got off
track. Anybody else have a question? Anybody? Yeah. Gravity Falls.
So me being absolutely terrible at art, and yet one in my head, maybe this could be a comic. That's my major issue. Should I either A, just learn how to draw?
No.
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 Okay.
You can always try to learn how to draw, but it's just not about learning how to draw. I don't know.
But he's learning how to draw just to bring this to comics.
Yeah, I mean, work towards what you can do and use that, and then try to find somebody to do what you can't. I would try to, like, you know, write a really good script, find somebody you can collaborate with on the project, somebody that wants to work with you. And make them excited and get on board with you. And then maybe you can share the idea. And they might come in too, because you might have certain ideas, but they'll say, oh, I have this cool idea for an elevator in it, or I have how a bedroom looks in it, or maybe the gun that they use, or whatever.
An elevator
scene
in there.
Yeah, there you go. And that's where the collaborative process happens. A lot of times it's not just, you know, I'm so great, look at me, I wrote this. Because even the greatest writers like Alan Moore or Warren Ellis or any of these guys, the first ones to say, well, I worked with this artist and they came up with these great ideas to help the story come along. You know.
But to drive the point home just a little further, like you just mentioned, there's an elevator scene. And you get an artist involved with it, that's where you may have to kill that baby. If he says, you know, all this elevator dialogue could fit into one panel in the dining room scene, you have to be willing to cut the elevator scene.
So. Yeah.
Well, it's an action scene,
I'm just saying. I haven't read this book. I don't know.
Technically, it's not killing your baby. It's not more like...
It's cutting your baby's arm off.
Yeah.
Slightly maiming the baby. Gentleman in the back.
I have a question about how specific should you be when writing a script for your... Let's say you found a person to draw for you, and you can't draw yourself. Was that question already asked? Can I try to answer that?
No.
No.
It's our panel.
It's our panel. You do like 6 or 7 years of comics and get your own panel, man. As far as that goes,
yeah,
he's like, I can answer that.
Tell them what the panel should look like, or just give
it depends on who the artist is.
Yeah, who the artist is, and in the end, they're going to say the same thing like in film and television. A script is just kind of a direction. It's not like this hard-nosed thing that, we have to follow the script.
But in comics, it is more than it is in film or television.
It's a cooperative.
To a certain degree, but it's still collaborative. Because even in the higher-ups, you get people like... I know a writer that works for Dynamite, and she's working on Songs of Sorrow, and I'll a lot of the stuff with the script, the artist came back with better concepts to work on.
But it, like to your thing, if I'm writing a script and just hypothetically I have Juan do it, I know Juan's strengths and Juan's skills. I know what I don't need to put in the script for, say, Juan. Mm-hmm. Not that we've ever done anything together.
I think but, all the kids left, so now we can be like.
No, if I'm writing a script for an artist I don't know that well, yeah, I put more descriptions in. You know, and then you feel them out as you go through the project process. Now this guy had a question.
Because my brother's an artist, so he works with me, and like with his character descriptions, that makes me actually not just describe the characters better, because I use his art to literally write the character descriptions, but then I actually understand them better too. Like it really works off, and then he works on that.
Yeah,
so
once you have the artist draw your things,
yeah,
it's much easier to write.
Work,
yeah.
Really.
Look, a lot of times, like, and where the best comics have come from has been from bullpens and stuff like that, which means writers and artists were in the same place talking about the thing.
Yeah,
yeah, put the artwork on the wall, you'd be like, oh, that looks cool. Oh, that's so. Oh, maybe if you had him swing this way, oh, then yeah, that is the best way to be working.
Well, I'll tell
no,
you.
Unfortunately, most of the time it's send an email, send an image, send an email, send an image. That's how it is. But really, if you can sit down with somebody, really work a story out, and work on thumbnails. I like final art, but thumbnails, just little thumbnail drawings of all the pages and how you want to tell the story, that's the best way to do it, man. That's where all the most dynamic ideas are going to come from. And how you can, because remember, even in your novel, you're going to have limits too. There are images and things that you could not portray there. You can portray it in a book, in a comic book.
Fuck you.
Not don't be hanging
on
you.
Yes.
I just wanted to know about the process of both the writing and the art. Like, how long does that normally take for an average chapter?
I know how long it's supposed to take.
Yeah. Look, when we look at, if you're talking about a monthly title, mm-hmm. most of the time, a lot of it has been done before it gets solicited. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, you should have like issue 3 done before issue 1 goes to get solicited to the comic book shops. So you're talking about 2 to 3 months. That means that's 3 issues.
A year process.
Yeah, it's like a year. Yeah,
yeah,
it's like a year process for like 4 issues. So I mean, you know, or you know, if you're talking about a 100-page manga, that might be, again, you know, about a year.
Yeah.
You know, a graphic novel about a year or two.
Yeah.
I mean, Doug Ten Naple, he's the guy who created Earthworm Jim. He does a graphic novel every year. So he, and there's some of them are 200 pages, 300 pages. Some of them are like 90 pages.
See, it's different for where we sit right now, because we have, you know, we run it like a machine in that here's the script. Well, sometimes. Here's a script. It goes to the artist. And then before the artist is even finished drawing it, you have the inker working on it, hypothetically.
Yeah.
And then you have the colorist working on it before the inker's done with it. So the process, it's always a machine that's kind of pumping out. Now, entry-level independent, you know, I would like to say a page a day, but I don't think that's possible.
Not always. And I mean, even for myself, I you know, I'm at least a year behind issue 3 of one book, and now about 3 or 4 months behind on issue 10 of another book. But I'm also editor-in-chief, so it's like, I've been processing.
I'm the boss. I can tell them.
Yeah. Yes, fuck you.
How do you get your comics famous?
How do you do that?
Who knows? Anybody?
Famous.
Anybody?
First, burn someone.
Again, we money. Money, money, money,
money,
money,
money,
money,
money,
money,
money, money. I mean, look, a lot of times it's not, I guess, you know, getting your comic book out there, we are still figuring out a lot of ends on that. And that's the secret. Without blowing a crap ton of cash.
Which
you know?
We've already done.
Yeah. But even yeah. But in advertising money, we have not.
I don't know. I used to do the internet advertising. You know what's... God damn, I hate to say it. Mike Broder's right. Facebook advertising actually pays off, man.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, but he has so many people working on it. But I think, like, a lot of times it's about going to conventions. We've been doing it for years.
That costs money, too.
You know, getting it in the hands of... getting other people excited about it. We have one website for us. It's called Comics Heating Up. They've been the one that kind of, like, give us, you know, really good reviews, getting reviewers to look at it, because they give us the good reviews, and they were giving us a thumbs up. We had a lot of people excited about our book. When we got it out there, everybody was picking it up. We were able to sell out. It's over the years. You've got to make a fan, you know, try to make a fan, like, every day, you know? If you can do that, that's a huge feat right there. You know, posting stuff. A lot of times it's like... you know, having the book out there and posting a concept or a sketch or something so that people are always up to date. You're always in their mind in some way. You know, those kind of things. There's a lot of antics involved. Besides throwing a crap ton of money and putting it, you know, because if you had the money, then you could buy a Super Bowl commercial and be like, buy Fuck You's Comics, and then, you know, and that's it. And everybody like, hey, I think I'm going to go buy Fuck You's Comics.
My name is Zandro.
No, your name is Fuck You.
This is a monkey shirt. No,
yeah,
it's
Fuck You shirt.
To that point, like, it's not easy, you know. And even if you get a level of success, like the next project, it's like starting from zero again.
Yeah.
You
know? But sometimes if they know what you're doing, you know, the other big deal is that if you make a fan, the fan is the guy who goes out and evangelizes your book. That's the guy who goes out and tells you, and that guy is sometimes the most important person. Because it's different than an advertisement or a TV or a banner telling you that something is cool than your friend coming up to you and saying, hey, bro, this is really cool. When your friend tells it, you'll listen to that more than anything that's out there.
Yeah, but now with social media, though, it's even better because your friend tells all of his friends on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Richard.
Is getting your work translated ever a consideration for your licensed or exempt?
I'm always thinking about it, man.
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
Getting your, like, translating it for other countries and whatnot?
Increased exposure.
I keep thinking
we're in the middle of figuring that out.
Yeah, me too.
Like, we're trying
to work together.
Yeah, exactly.
I just speak Spanish and I don't.
Well, we're actually looking at translating into Portuguese and translating into Spanish. We have somebody that we're talking to about Europe, but that's a whole. It's not hard. You can go on Craigslist and find a translator and have somebody translate a book for you. And there's people even out there that'll do it for you that are letterers that'll translate for you. So it's not hard. It's about finding, as far as licensing, it's only digital. Like for Brazil, there's no real distribution construct there for comics in print. But they know they have a lot of, what I've been told is that a lot of people have tablets, and that's the best way of getting this stuff out there. So that's on the internet as PDF books or something.
How do you copyright your comics?
Oh, that's a whole other bag.
Yeah.
That's a whole. Look, all right, really fast with copyright. First off, that whole mailing the thing to yourself with a stamp and all that's garbage. That doesn't work. Second, copyright exists as soon as you create it. As soon as you make something, it is copyrighted. It is the burden of proof that you have to do. I've been part of two lawsuit cases with the copyright. You're like, you know what's coming. The whole thing is a burden of proof. So if you create something and you print it and you take it to print and you have a printed copy and it says 2000 something and you sell the book and somebody else has it and everything, there it is. That says, look, it got printed in this day. This is when it was made. That's your burden of proof. Still not safe. Because let's say you make, you know, Fuck You Man and you know everything else. But then Marvel made Fuck You Man back in 1994. And they decide to bring it back, and they see that you have a Fuck You Man, they can still come out and say, you know what, too bad. You have to cease and desist on Fuck You Man, you can't make it anymore, you can't bring it out.
And they win automatically.
And they win automatically.
Yeah. But now, here's the thing, though. If you come up with Fuck You Man, and he comes up with Fuck You Man at the same time, and then you guys are going to go to court on this and see, like, it's pretty much whoever has the most money wins.
Most money, but also who has a copyright. Because if you actually send the copyright, this is the third thing, send the copyright to the copyright office, file for copyright, pay the $45 I think it takes to copyright, like, say, a script or something like that. Now you have an official U.S. document that's stamped and everything that says a certain date and that day. That still doesn't make you win because they can stamp a bunch of stuff and they put a date on it. Doesn't matter because in the end, if the other person made it earlier, they don't check on that. They just say that everything's in order. Cool. Boom. That's it. Yeah, I know.
So there you go. That's copyright law. And again, I still say, whoever has the most money in those kind of, you know, arguments usually wins. Because if you guys go to court, you both have to pay lawyers. And whoever runs out of money first loses.
And believe me, it never is like a court date and there's not a judge and you're sitting there making an argument. No, it's all paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, it's all paperwork.
Yeah, so, that's...
Just do as much as you can to protect yourself. That you have enough, you know, again, burden of proof to go in front of a judge and say, look, I have all this. I created this.
Well, you do what I do. I have an accountant who's also a lawyer.
Yeah. Any other questions?
This is for the artist. What's your favorite traditional, digital, and what's your favorite tools of choice?
I'm still traditional because I am an old man. I like using brush. I use ink. There's newer tools now that are cool, like brush pens and stuff like that. I'm always looking at that. That's mostly what I use. I use India ink. And, I mess and dabble with the idea of using pastels and stuff like that, because now, thanks to scanner technology, you can use all that. What was the second half of that question?
Your favorite tools.
First, yeah, brush pens. I use a P700. This is like the pen I use almost for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I like the black, it bleeds. So when I use a wash on it, I just put some water, it bleeds, and I can make nice grays with it. And I can work really fast. And I do most of my stuff in a sketchbook now. I used to do the 11 by 17 pages, but my schedule is so hectic, I have to draw wherever I can. And that's pretty much it.
But ideally, you want to use 11 by 17.
Yeah, if you can have a nice desk and sit down and draw like a normal human being should do, please do it. Don't be an animal like me.
No.
Artist life, it's just like that.
Yeah.
Or stuff like working like animals.
The first three issues of Zombie Years were all done in like Moleskine sketchbooks. And I used to work for American Airlines. I used to draw my stuff on the tarmac while the planes were coming in. You know, so I mean, I drew wherever I could, stuck it in my bag when the plane came, unloaded bags, came back, kept drawing. That's how it is. You know, it's how it is, man. That's the ins and outs of it.
Yeah, but wrapping up, everybody here, you know, you guys are all into the independent comic scene? You all read independent comics? You look like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like more.
You guys need to support it. You need to pick it
Thank
up.
You.
You need to buy it. Look into it. I run a comic book shop in Hialeah called The Goblin's Heist. Again, all the whole thing is I push a lot of guys come in there and they're kind of bored of Spider-Man or what's going on Batman and that. I push a lot of like, you know, newer independent stuff. There's new stuff out there that's really good. You'll be surprised at how good it is.
But there's nothing wrong with Spider-Man and Super and Batman too. I mean,
there's spurts of goodness.
Yeah,
Convergence sucked.
Oh,
that was horrible. That was a car crash.
And I would love to say Secret War sucked, but it hasn't ended yet.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
So I mean, there's ins and outs of it, but go and read it, pick it up, support it. Not only like guys like, you know, Creature Entertainment and
Cosmic Times,
but also like Chaotic Neutral back there. You know, they make stuff too that you can go and purchase and read, and you know. And look at it and say either, hey, I can do this, or oh my god, they're amazing, they're so talented.
Yeah, but even outside of like, here's the big thing. Like, say you go, everybody knows what the previews catalog is, right?
Cricket.
Yes.
Cricket.
Every month there's a catalog comes out of comic stores called Previews Catalog. You thumb through it, it shows you every book that's going to be out on the racks in 2 months. You need to go to your retailers and say, I want independent comics. I want something not from the front of what's called the front of the catalog. I want some of these independent books, or these companies are going to dry up and die. You know, at the end of the day, like you look at Oni Press, they had to start moving into licensed properties just to survive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing you guys have to realize. I mean, if you guys don't speak up and talk and tell us what you're looking for, forget about it.
What's your comic store? Where do you buy comics?
I don't buy comics.
You make me sick.
By manga, sorry.
Joker, where do you buy comics?
Oh, wait, well, manga. What manga are you reading or buying?
I'm reading DeGrayman right now. But, I mean, I read tons of manga. But I get my conventions mostly.
That's cool.
That's right. That's cool. You in the back, what kind of?
Future, past, and present. They're here.
Past, present, and future?
Yeah, something like that.
Which one? The one in Lauderhill or the one in Davies? Lauderhill? Okay.
Okay. Where do you get your comics?
Online.
Okay.
Like Comixology?
Comixology or like Midtown
or Torrance?
Okay. He was like, Kick-Ass Torrance, Pirate Bay.
Free.
Yeah.
You know, manga websites too.
All right.
Yeah.
Never mind. But you know, that's it. Again, it's just support. So whatever you're into, support it. That's kind of the key to it all.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, you know, you left and now you're coming back.
Yeah, I know. But at least I'm back.
There you go.
No, like, I was looking for my friend.
Well, right here. Where do you buy your comics, question mark man?
Oh, so it's from Yucca Falls.
Where do you buy your comics?
I don't have a collection. I'm sorry. I should be supporting the industry.
We're old.
Just go.
Well, that's it. That's us. That's us in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Buy our comics. Buy everybody's comics. Support independent comics.
Yes. If you want to make comics.
Yes, because if you don't support it, there's not going to be an industry for you to make comics in.
All right, thanks, guys.
Goodbye.
Did you get that business card?
Yes, we did.
I have flyers right here.
I got business cards.
There you go.